Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this evening continues in our reading through the book of Exodus, where the Lord declares, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. Jimmy Barber never learned to trust a soul. And that's why, for much of his life, he never unpacked his bag. We can't blame him. Jimmy never really knew his mother and father, who spent more time in jail than out of jail. When he was a small child, his mother had gotten out of jail again and took up with a troublemaker again. And at one point, they loaded Jimmy into the back seat of their Oldsmobile Delta 88, and for a year, the car was Jimmy's home. He learned never to trust a soul. And that's why Jimmy Barber never unpacked his bag. After living in the back seat of a car for a year, one day, one random day, Jimmy's mother and whoever that guy was dumped him off at a train depot in Pensacola, Florida. And the mother and the boyfriend sped away in their Delta 88. Jimmy desperately needed a new beginning. We continue exploring the book of Exodus tonight at chapter 34, and it's all about new beginning. Aaron, Israel's high priest, he really needed a new beginning. So does Israel, and most certainly, so do we. A new beginning is absolutely necessary here in Exodus 32. Aaron and the Israelites, they were faced with this huge crisis. They hadn't seen Moses, this man chosen by God who had led them thus far. They hadn't seen him for 40 days and 40 nights while he was on Mount Sinai, having been called to come up onto the mountain by God himself. Was Moses dead? Did he leave them? Would he ever return? Aaron and the Israelites, they grew impatient. And they did what impatient human beings do. They took matters into their own hands. So they made a golden calf, called it church, worshiped it. Now, in the face of crisis, staying focused on mission, on task, is so very critical. But when faced with this huge crisis of not having Moses, Aaron, and the Israelites, well, they have no idea what to do. They lose their focus. They lose sight of God's mission for them, and they confuse patience with their own foolhardy tasks. That's why they build a golden calf. Now, what does Moses do when he returns finally from Mount Sinai? Well, quite simply, he too loses focus and he loses his temper. Moses smashes these Ten Commandments that had just been given to him, written by the very finger of God himself, and he takes the dust and he grinds it up, and in this fury, He mixes it with the golden calf and with water, and he forces the people to drink this slew. And here we pick up the narrative in Exodus chapter 4. Then Yahweh told Moses, "Chisel out 2 stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the same words that were on the tablets you smashed." The 10 commandments, God's very direction for his people, had been smashed. And that's why, of course, a new beginning was so absolutely necessary. Well, let's face it. We're not all that different from Aaron and the Israelites. What do we so often do when we face a crisis of our own? Become angry, impatient, faithless, selfish. We turn to our golden calves, whatever those might be, and we look to those for the answer. We look to those for some variation of salvation. And so God, the very holy and righteous and perfect God, this same God would have every right to dump us off at a train depot in Pensacola, Florida, and drive away into the sunset. But he doesn't. Our God doesn't do it. And because he doesn't, a new beginning is totally possible for us. We read, Yahweh came down in a cloud and he stood there with Moses. He called out his own name, Yahweh, Yahweh. If you read through the book of Exodus, Yahweh frequently comes down. He comes down to Moses in the form of the burning bush. Exodus 19, he comes down to Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 40, Yahweh came down to fill the tabernacle with the cloud of his glory. And in each one of those instances, the message is in some ways the same. We cannot go up to him. He has to come down to us if there is to be a relationship between God and his creation. What does God do when he comes down? Does he scold us, shame us, berate us, reject us? No. No, he cries out. He cries out his own name, Yahweh. The compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and lifting up wickedness, rebellion, and sin. God assures us that a new beginning is possible. I want to look this evening at that one particular verse. I'm just going to let that kind of be our background and think through a little bit the characteristics, the dynamics that God is placing before us in this one extraordinary promise. And it begins with compassionate. Yahweh, the compassionate. It's fascinating in Hebrew. The word compassionate is rachum. And it is closely related to the Hebrew word for a mother's womb, which is rechem. And it's interesting if you consider the two, that the idea of compassion then expresses this emotional connection that a mother has for the child that is in her womb. I can't say what that feels like. I've watched what it feels like, marveled at it. But think about it. That same feeling, this is what God carries for you. This overwhelming, hard to describe, kind of take your breath away passion. That is rachum in God. It says he is slow to anger. That's one of those phrases, you know, small little phrases. We've heard it thousands of times, and every single time you hear the phrase, we ought to just have a sense of relief. Yahweh slow to anger. For if Yahweh were quick to anger, his compassion wouldn't last but seconds in any one of our lives. If God poured out wrath every time we sinned, we would be completely buried underneath that wrath instead of embraced in his compassion, his rachum. But instead, God shouts from Sinai, I am slow to anger for you, and abounding in steadfast love. Abounding is a word that announces that God's steadfast love isn't limited. And doesn't it seem like sometimes, well, oftentimes, that the federal government perceives it can just pour more money into everything? Well, God is like that. Whenever there's a need, God pours out more steadfast love. The huge difference, of course, between the Almighty and our national bureaucracy is that God truly has an infinite treasure to cover all the currency of blessing that he dispenses. God's infinite resource of steadfast love will never run out, will never be depleted. God will never go into debt or be bankrupt. There is always more blessing that he seeks to pour out upon those he loves. And this God of compassion and love is said to be lifting up, which is another way of saying forgiving, removing, wickedness, rebellion, and sin. There are three words for sin in the Hebrew language, and God uses all three of them right here in Exodus 34. Perhaps that is to show that he lifts up from us every type of sin. There are no categories of the unforgivable. Yahweh lifts up wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Wickedness implies a twisted kind of depravity. It means that we are crooked and bent against the will of God. Rebellion, well, refers to a kind of treason. A treason against the covenant king of our lives. And sin, that the simple word sin means to miss the mark. The Ten Commandments, of course, are that mark, that bullseye, if you will. And we take aim and miss over and over, and yet God lifts up wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And where does he put it all? Well, that, of course, invites us to look ahead a few days toward this coming Palm Sunday. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey on a Sunday afternoon, knowing that by Friday he is going to be lifting up that huge mess that we have created, and he will place it all upon himself as he himself is lifted up. All that wickedness, all the rebellion, all the sin. Jesus is Yahweh in the flesh, the very manifestation of the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and lifting up wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Jesus teaches this love, he lives it, he dies in it. He demonstrates it by shedding his blood on the cross. And so in this coming week, Palm Sunday once again announces it. The one who has come in the name of the Lord, Good Friday, demonstrates it in all its graphic ugliness. And then Easter Sunday celebrates it in all of its amazing beauty. Well, one day, while aimlessly walking around Pensacola, Jimmy Barber spotted a man named Russ who was working in his garage. Soon, Russ and his wife, Beatrice, invited Jimmy to live with them. Well, this home was like heaven. There were hot meals. He could take a bath. They had TV. But even then, Jimmy, who had never learned to trust a soul, wasn't ready to unpack his bag, at least not at first. You know, a new beginning is entirely optional. We can refuse to unpack our bag. We can reject divine love. We can be indifferent toward it or aloof about our need for it. But that wasn't Moses. No, Moses immediately threw himself to the ground and worshiped God. And so I would invite you to follow Moses. Trust that God is who he says he is. Repeat in your own heart, Yahweh, Yahweh. Until the very voice, the very name of God trumps the voices of fear, shame, the voices of guilt and blame that we carry around on our own shoulders, and throw yourself before Yahweh. Jimmy had been rejected so many times that he struggled to let go of the only thing that he thought he had any control over, his bag, his stuff. That's why he never unpacked, believing that it kept him somehow in control. It took at least another month before Russ and B convinced Jimmy that their love was authentic. It was real. It wasn't going anywhere. Neither was he. So finally, Jimmy Barber unpacked his bag. He embraced the love and kindness of his newfound family. He went to school, then to college. He found a way to express himself musically rather than keeping it all bottled up inside. Jimmy's middle name is Wayne. And in time, he dropped his last name. Perhaps it was a way of dropping his past, unpacking his bag, and moving forward. Today, Jimmy Wayne is a famous country music singer. You can look him up. He tells this story, if it's of interest to you, and it's pretty compelling. His new beginning started when he learned to trust, when he finally unpacked his bag. So unpack yours. Unpack your sin, your denial, your fear, your shame, and leave it all at the foot of the cross. Trust in the compassion, the abounding love, the complete forgiveness that is yours in Christ Jesus. And let that be your new beginning again. Amen.